Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Tahrim al-Niyahati al-Mayyiti wa Latm al-Khaddi wa Shaqq al-Jaybi wa Natf al-Sha'ri wa Halqihi wa Dua'i bil-Waili wa Thuburi. The chapter on the prohibition of wailing over the dead, of slapping the face, tearing the clothes, plucking out and shaving the hair, and supplicating for destruction. When somebody loses a person, a family member, a friend, some loss, then in the time of Jahiliyyah, this was a practice that would happen. People would start wailing over the dead. They would start plucking out the head, the hair. They would start shaving the head. They would start tearing their clothes, slapping their face, etc., to show signs of disapproval of this person passing away, or to show their distress and anguish that this friend or family member had passed away. So they would do things like this. Now when Islam came, Islam has taught us that we are happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has blessed everyone with life. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the amount of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined, that also is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this debt also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person, tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut, this is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person expresses his approval and his happiness with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't do things like this. So in Jahiliyyah, this was a common thing that would happen. People would even hire wailers. They would hire people to come and mourn over the dead and cry and make other people cry. So we see in the hadith as we are going that this specifically has been prohibited in Islam. In Islam, we are taught that we happily accept the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we accept that this was the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, to feel sad and to tear is natural. There is no harm in that. But to take it to another level where a person deliberately starts expressing his upsetness, or starts expressing his anger with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing these type of things, this is not permissible and this is not acceptable. عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الميت يعذب في قبره بما نيح عليه. هذا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said the deceased is punished in his grave because of people wailing over him. The deceased is punished in his grave because of people wailing over him. Is one ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, that no person will carry the burden of another person. In other words, this person is in his qabr, people are wailing for him in the dunya, so why should he be burdened with their wailing, with their crying? This hadith is effectively giving that meaning, that this person is in the qabr, but he's being punished because of those people wailing over him. Therefore it is so important that even a hadith, when we do hadith, should do it under some person that has learnt it from another person, from an alim, etc. So otherwise, if we just read a hadith like this, sometimes we can think and take the meaning that goes against Quran also. Quran says that no person bears the burden of another person. In other words, somebody else is doing some action, he can't bear the burden. But look at the explanation that is given by the shurah, the muhaddiseen. The explanation, there are many explanations given for this hadith, but just to mention two, that this will apply to where a person made wasiyat, that after I die, you people hire mourners to cry over me. Now when those mourners and the people are wailing and crying over him because of the wasiyat that he made, or he just made general wasiyat that you people cry over me, and you people wail and you do these type of things that were done in Jahiliyyat. So while this person is in the qabr, he's getting punished by those people that are doing it, because this was his wasiyat that he had made. Number one. Number two, second explanation is, this was a custom in his family, that this was a practice in his family, but whilst he was alive, he didn't object to the family members doing this. In other words, he was happy with this practice, and he was happy with this practice that was happening in his family, and this type of thing that was going on. He had no issue with it. So when he passes away now, then he will be punished because of them doing it. Whilst he was alive, the right thing for him to do was to have corrected the family. There are other explanations, as I said, but just for now, for our understanding purposes, these two explanations are good enough. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من ضرب الخدود وشق الجيوب ودعا بدعوى الجاهلية. Ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who slaps his cheeks tears his clothing and makes ignorant statements is not of us. What is meant by these ignorant statements? In the days of Jahiliyyah, they would make such statements that one who has made my children orphans, one who has made his wife a widow, oh Allah, how could you have taken him away from me? Was he the only one you could have chosen? What did he do? Sometimes this happens, the person says, what did he do to deserve this? Na'udhu billah, we should be very, very careful of what statements we make. Very, very, very careful of what statements he makes. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laysa minna, he is not from amongst us. Ulama give a few explanations. What is meant by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Laysa minna, he is not from amongst us. Ya Rasulullah sallam is saying, he is not from amongst us. Who? The one who slaps his cheeks, tears his clothing, and makes ignorant statements. He is not of us. What is meant by he is not of us? What it means is that he's not following our path. Our path is not to do these things, number one. Number two is, this person, his way and his style and his deen is not complete, like our deen which is complete, because this is what this person is doing, number two. Or it could mean, where a person starts regarding these things as halal, when he starts regarding these things as permissible, then laysa minna really means this person is not from us, he's not from the Muslims, because now something that is prohibited, he is taking it to be halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. One lesson we learn from here, some lesson which is very important, that sometimes in our family, in our circles, there will be certain things that are wrong. Slowly, but in a good way, in a way with a lot of wisdom, we should make an effort to change it. If we don't change it and these practices continue after our death, we will be responsible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyyatihi, that every one of you is a shepherd and every one of you will be questioned with regard to his flock. We don't need to look too far. We all made shepherds over our own families. And we see things that are happening in our immediate family and then our extended family, moving on like this to our neighborhood, etc. Let's ask ourselves, starting with our immediate family, how many things we see wrong, but sometimes we just turn a blind eye. A simple example, sometimes the children, a young person, a boy growing up now, we see sometimes when they're going to swim, the satar is not covered, wearing short pants. Now this happens in front of us. How many times do we take the trouble to tell that boy or the child, or sometimes even a girl, this is not permissible, this is not allowed at all in Islam. It's happening in front of our eyes, but we just overlook it. Or sometimes the children are growing up, watching videos, watching television, joining the wrong company, going and doing the wrong things, and sometimes we just turn a blind eye to it. So for all this, we will be questioned. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining or mentioning that this person is in his qabr, but certain practices that were there in his family, he did nothing about it. After he passed away, he's being punished because of those practices still continuing in his family. So let us see that how we can correct it. And one very easy way of correcting things around us is doing the talim at home. When the talim is done at home, that barakat that is found is amazing. So many families have found changes just by sitting and reading talim daily at home. Sometimes the buzruhanuddin, the pious people, the elders, some domestic problems people are having, and some problems would seem so serious that this person has got so many different problems in his house, they would give one simple prescription. They would tell the person, start talim at home. Whoever is listening, they would think that this person has got such a big problem, one would expect a very sophisticated solution, but there was no sophisticated solution. They would tell the person, just start talim at home. And after a few years or a few months, the person would come back and he'll explain that through the barakat of this talim that I started at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought so many changes. So sometimes we don't realize how many changes comes about by doing simple things. And one simple thing we can do is start this talim at home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.